What's up, guys? We are back with another episode of Pound for Pound. I am the Nigerian Nightmare, Kamaru Usman.
And this is Hudo, a.k.a. Triple C.
And guys, today we have a very special guest, an illustrious guest. I mean, a man that really needs no introduction. I mean, 17 world titles in four different divisions. I mean, the light middleweight, super middleweight, and light heavyweight champion. The only undisputed super middleweight champion ever. Guys, allow me to welcome Mr. Canelo, Saul Canelo Alvarez.
Thank you. Thank you, my friend.
A Shot of Lime production.
My God. Okay, you know what? First and foremost, let's just... Elephant in the room. Let's just get this elephant out. Obviously, you know, when I was champion in the UFC, I was the welterweight champion of the world. And you dominated... as champion in boxing, you know, there was some talks about us potentially fighting. You know, first and foremost, I'm a fan of yours. I'm a fan of your work. I'm a fan of everything that you've done in the sport of boxing. And I think it's important for us to, you know, clear the air and have this type of conversation. But obviously, we're competitors and we want to compete. And of course, you know, when we started this thing of competition, this sport, our respective sports, we didn't both necessarily get in it for money, but you get in it to be the best at it, to compete. But then you get to a certain point where, yay, you know, the paycheck, it makes it worthwhile because all the years that you work and everything that you put into it, the paycheck makes it worthwhile. And you were in a spot to where you were just dominating everybody, to where the question was being asked, who else can challenge this guy? Is there anything else? Is there anything that anyone has for him? And so at that moment, I'm like, let me at least give him a different look, you know, because I'm not a technical boxer. So I feel like, you know, all the pieces to the puzzle when it comes to boxing, how guys roll, the combination that guys are going to throw. And I felt that mine's different. I'm a mixed martial artist. I'm an MMA fighter. They might come slower, but the combinations might be different than what you're used to. So that's why I threw my hand in the mix and saying, hey, I would love to give him something different, a different look. And who knows? At the end of the day, we know as fighters that anything can happen in a fight. And so that's what it was. So I hope there's no hard feelings because I respect you as a fighter. And I hope that's vice versa because I think you're a hell of a champion.
No hard feelings. I think, you know, I think this is a beautiful sport. You the best in your sport, I'm the best in my sport, and I respect that. And, you know, we never gonna know because we never made the fight. True. But I always say that that's why you choose MMA and I choose boxing. If I go in there with you in an MMA fight, it's going to be different. If you come to my sport, it's going to be different. I know the mentality I can do it. I can do it. I can do this. But when you go into the ring, it's very different. The same way, if I go to the octagon, I say I can do it, but it's way different, right? But that's good mentality because you're looking for a challenge. And I love that. I love that. And no hard feelings. Don't worry, my friend.
I want to say I love this English speaking Canelo.
Yeah. I've tried my best.
I've known for a while that you could speak a little bit here and there, but then after a fight and they put the mic in front of you and they're asking you to, you know, questions and how was the fight, you're just comfortable speaking Spanish. So you go right into Spanish. But I'm like, I know this guy can speak English, and I know he understands what's being said. So I love the fact that you're speaking English. Not that I don't love when you were speaking Spanish. I love it. I personally remember the first time that I saw you fight, and I'm like, who is this redheaded Irish kid? and then they put the mic, and they were asking you questions, and it was all Spanish, and you blew my mind. I was like, whoa. Oh, the guy is speaking Spanish, and he can fight like that? So I love the fact that you speak in English now, and the world gets this really, especially on this side, the people that don't speak Spanish, they get to kind of understand you more. They get to hear your story and they get to get behind you and see the type of champion that you are.
Mm-hmm. You know, I try my best in English. It's now it's more easy to understand. Sometimes I make mistake when I talk, but you know, I try my best, and I want that the people understand me and hear me from me, not for the translator. You know, because sometimes you speak Spanish and the translator they translate different, and I want to people understand me the way I talk, the way I wanna make them understand everything, and I just try my best.
Right.
Yeah, no, I think Canelo, the first time I met you, you were still kind of dabbling into English and Spanish a little bit. I don't know if you remember that with Mike Tyson.
Yeah,
and I know that in the beginning you went, the conversation was in Spanish, and all of a sudden everything switched and you started going English. So I think you made that transition. I think it's made you more of a global superstar. But, you know, obviously September 14th is coming up, man. You know, you got the beautiful rivalry between Mexico and Puerto Rico. Obviously we go back all the way from Macho Camacho to Julio Cesar Chavez. I know you probably don't want to hear his name, but Oscar De La Hoya versus Trinidad.
Mm-hmm.
You have all this, but why is it that you have chosen a guy like Edgar Berlanga? Was it because of the rivalry of the country versus country, or was it something about this guy that you saw? It's like, you know what? I want to give this guy an opportunity.
You know, I was in my vacation, and Eddie, my trainer and manager, and Luis de Cubas and Old Jaimon, they called me and say, we have this fight. And I say, you know, I don't care. I don't give a fuck what fight is coming. I just put it there and I'm ready. And you know what? I have this opportunity to fight with Miguel Angel Cotto in 2015, and for me it was a great night fighting with a legend like Miguel Angel Cotto. For me, it's there a Canelo before and after. So I have so much respect for Puerto Rico, and I think it's a good match for people.
So Canelo, I a lot has been made about picking you having the right to decide who the next fight is, and I saw previously where you were asked the question, and you said this, and you said that this is how it's been done. Julio Cesar Chavez, he earned the right to where he could pick and choose who he wanted to give that opportunity to. And then you have a guy like Oscar De La Hoya who picked and chose when he could give the opportunity to. And then you have a guy like Floyd Mayweather who could pick and choose who he gave an opportunity to. Do you, what do you, and now you're in that position to where you are that superstar who could kind of pick and choose. What do you attest it to? Do you attest it to having all these different boxing belts, whether it's WBO, WBC? Because I know, as a fan, we want to see that next guy fight that next guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like the UFC, we have one belt and one undisputed belt. And that guy is the champion. And so with that one belt, you fight the next guy. And you fight the next guy and you fight the next guy. And there's no question who that champion is. Do you think that by having all these different belts, obviously, when you ascend to being a superstar like you are, do you think having all these different belts gives you that right to just say, hey, you know what? I want to fight that. Because you can't fight all the belts, WBC, WBO, WBA. You can't fight all of them at once.
Yeah, it's very difficult to fight at the same time, right?
Yes,
but look, it's very important what you're asking, because, I accomplish everything and I fight with everybody already, and I earned this position, you know? And like I say, you can make that decision just like that. Like, hey, you need to fight the very next guy. It's a school. Who's that guy? Like Yildirim. I made that fight with Yildirim in 2020, and I said, who is that guy? But you need to fight with him, because they already made a contract. If you want to fight with Callum Smith, the winner of the fight, you need to fight the next guy. But it's very difficult because, you know, nobody wants to see that fight. Nobody knew these guys. And it's very difficult. And my position, I just make the right fight.
Yeah, because I feel like there's one person that has really changed your perspective on how you view boxing and the business side, and his name is Al Haymon. I mean, how much has a guy like Al Haymon has really made you think on that business side? Because I think of Floyd, because I feel like you're stealing a little bit of that, which is out there, that you're taking a little bit of what Floyd has done, but you're doing it your way, your style. Like, how much has Al Haymon been an influence for you on the business side?
Look, I did this before I knew Al Haymon, but Al Haymon is very smart. And I always try to learn from the people, for smart people, no, and who cares about the fighter, because somebody just care about the business, and they just want the promoter want to talk everything and this and want to be the attraction, you know, and you see Al Haymon is behind just. Take care about the fighters, take care about every fighter, put in the interviews or fights, they make fights to still make money. So he take care about the fighters too. Not just be in the reflectors and everything, you know? It's very different.
Right, Canelo. And with that, obviously we know that, and the business of boxing, there's a lot of moving parts, like you're mentioning right now. What would you say? You've dealt with different promoters. You've dealt with the Oscar De La Hoya, and to where now you kind of have things in your control, working with Al Haymon. What would you say is the biggest lesson that you've learned as far as the business of boxing?
The best thing is the fighter needs to take almost everything. Almost everything. I take the 80% of everything.
I like that.
Because
I just saw that. So the Coca-Cola I'm buying.
I risk my life in the ring. And everybody is making money too. It's not that they don't make money. They're making money, but the fighter need to make more than everybody.
Yeah, for sure. Well, to get back to Edgar, to get back to Berlanga, man, there's something about him that I feel that he's really, you know, quote unquote. I mean, I'm hearing this guy speak Spanish. I mean, I'm not. I'm quoting him. He, you know, he's saying certain things that are just kind of, you know, he's talking about doing some nasty things to you. You know, obviously he's making these references. I feel like he has brought something out in you that's different, because typically, you know what, Canelo, you know, besides the Caleb Plant, we typically, you know, you do your stare downs, you guys respect each other, but there's something about Edgar that really bugs you, that's bringing out another side in you, and I want to know what is that.
You know, it's other Canelo when somebody talks shit about him. It's other Canelo there, and you will see September 14 is going to be a different Canelo there. My mind is just try to kill him and just wake up that monster of Canelo.
Yeah. You said something in that interview that really brought, you know, that really hit home. You said, I am not going to have compassion for you. I'm going to hurt you, and you're not going to go past 8 rounds.
I'm gonna feel him pain. Let him feel pain for 7-8 rounds, and that's it.
And that's it. Kamaru, dude.
Y como le dije, le voy a dar la putiza de su vida.
Yeah, he just said like I told you, I'm gonna give him the fucking ass beating of his life.
Canelo, Edgar kind of, obviously, when the like we said, like the WBC, the WBA, and the WBO, these guys, they've already got these contracts up where they have them, which all these guys become mandatory for the belt holder, like yourself. So Edgar becomes the mandatory. As we look back in Edgar's career, he started out really hot. I mean, in the first, 16 fights, he had, 13 knockouts in that first round? To where he got hot. And then, you know, from being from Brooklyn, New York, he has that Puerto Rican, you know, a crowd behind him to where they're going to be supporting him. Why didn't this fight take place in a place like New York as a place to Vegas? I know personally, being in the position of fighting, I know why I think it didn't take place in New York. But why didn't you do something like this at MSG in New York?
Because it's in the Mexican Independence, September 14th. It's that weekend, in the biggest weekend for Mexicans. So yeah, that's why. That's why. If the fight was November, October, December, okay, we made that in New York. But it's Mexican Independence, my friend.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, but you also know.
He fought Cotto in New York.
Yes, you fought Cotto in New York.
No, sir.
You didn't fight Cotto in New York?
No.
Not MSG?
No.
No, Cotto fought Austin Trout at MSG. Yes, yeah. You fought Cotto in
Margarito, Mandalay. I think.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But you know, on that same date, the UFC is having UFC Noche presented by Riyadh Season.
Mm-hmm.
Also as well. How do you feel going up against the UFC on the same date, the same night, in the same town? How do you think that's going to do to potential pay-per-view sales?
I feel great. The competition is good. The competition is good. And I think that song come for everybody. I like that competition, and I think it's good for everybody.
I like it too.
So, Kamaru, let's give a shout-out to our partners at Underdog Fantasy Sports, the absolutely best place to play fantasy sports. Their pick'em game is easy as choosing higher or lower on a variety of fight stats like significant strikes, knockouts, takedowns, and fight time.
And, as always, all new users who sign up with code P4P, that is pound for pound, will receive up to $250 in bonus cash and a pick'em special.
Underdog is available in 30-plus states, including California, Texas, Arizona, and Florida. Support the show and click the link down below in the description to get started. Thank you, Underdog Fantasy, for supporting this show. And thank you for allowing me to freaking always prove Kamaru Usman wrong, too.
And now, let's get back into Canelo Alvarez.
Well, moving on, too, man. Obviously, you get past a guy like Edgar Belanga. I mean, you know, obviously, you know, there's a big fight coming up with Beterev and Bivol, you know, somebody that you have fought before. I mean, are you keeping your eyes on this fight at 175 pounds?
Yeah, if it's possible one day, it's the only fight I make one more time in 175 with the rematch with Bivol. I think it's the only fight I go up and fight with him.
And how do you like that fight? And who do you think has the better chance of coming out victorious? Because we know both a guy like Beterbiev, he hits very, very hard. He's maybe not as mobile as a guy like Bivol, but he hits very, very hard when he's able to line you up and get his opponents in a certain area. So what do you think will happen in that fight?
I think if Bivol have the condition and the very good game plan to go there in and out and do all these things, I think he wins. But if not, if he go a little bit in the corner or something in the ropes, it's gonna be hard for him because Beterbiev is a very hard fighter.
Yeah,
for sure. Well, Canelo, like I said, man, I know you're probably sick of it, but we have to ask you about, you know, obviously Benavidez, and obviously we understand, man. Obviously you're the A side, you get a chance to pick, but did you get a chance to see his last fight, and what did you think of it?
I think it's his weight class. That's his weight class, the 175, and you can see he's very different. He can do nothing with a fighter who retired in 2019 and coming with two easy fights. And then, look, it's different, no? When you in your weight class and fighting with guys in your weight.
Okay. Now, obviously, there was a lot of talk back and forth of whether this fight will happen or you know, we have guys now like Turkey and that are promoters that are willing to come in and say, hey, we have the money for you. Why not make the fight? Was a big reason for you the weight difference, the weight disparity of why potentially that fight didn't interest you?
No, you know, I'm in the business. I can do the fight it's better for me. And if the money is right, it's okay. But you know, I like to be comfortable. I like to be in peace. They want to talk with me when I have a fight in front, and I don't like to walk in that way. And I say, look, I don't want to talk about any other fight. After the fight with Berlanga, we can sit and talk about it and make everything sense, right? But I'm not begging for anything. I'm good in the position I am. I'm not begging to make a fight. I'm not begging to make that fight. I don't need anything. I'm doing my own business. I'm good. So if you want to make that fight, okay. Yeah. We can talk after the fight.
Yeah, so Saul, so you just said it. You just said Benavides. Maybe that's his right weight class at 175. But I don't know if you had a chance to see watch Terrence Crawford at 154 pounds. What did you think?
Do you think he's weight class?
So you think Terrence Crawford's 147 pounder rather than a 54?
Yeah, pounder? I think his weight class is 147. You can see the difference.
You think he's too small at 54? You don't think he pushes people?
You can see in the last fight is different. It's different. I know as a fighter, we think we can do things. We can do everything. We can go up and fight everybody and beat them and thinking about that, right? But when you're in there, is way different. As a fighter, I know he wants to make history and go up and he believes he can beat everybody. But that's why they are weight classes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, Canelo, now you've done, like you've mentioned, you've done pretty much everything there is to do, everything that you wanted to do. You are comfortable. And there's still a lot being thrown at you. Obviously, as fighters, to get to the top, you have to go through so much. The injuries here and there, the injuries that people don't see, the injuries that people don't talk about, because fans and everyone just want to see you continue to do your job and to fight. When is it for you that you say, hey, you know what? I've had the career that I wanted. I've made the money. I'm good. Maybe it's time for me to walk away.
I don't know when, my friend. I don't know when.
You don't even think about it at all?
No. I think I'm going fight by fight. That's why I always want to do my business first with the fighter I have in front, with the opponent I have in front, and then we'll see. I have fight by fight, but I feel great. I feel great. I enjoy what I do. I still enjoy camps. I still enjoy boxing, and I feel great. I feel in my best.
Well, Canelo, you look great. You've, like we said, you are obviously one of the best to ever do it. And for sure, we are going to be watching September 14th. You, Canelo Alvarez, going up against Edgar Berlanga live from the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas, Nevada. We all going to have our eyes on that fight, as well as UFC Noche. You know, like you mentioned, competition is good. So we're all going to be watching, and we're going to want to, of course, want to see the Canelo train continue. So bigger and better fights in the future. All right. Thank you for joining us, my man.
My pleasure. Take care, guys.
Henry, how you doing? You all right?
I'm good, bro. I just, you know, the thing with Canelo, he seems like he's, I don't think we'll ever see that fight with Benavides. I really don't. Unless there's like a crazy payday, but I don't even think that stuff is worth it for him. I think the cards are on his table, and understandably so, man. Like, you know, once you work that hard, you become a four division champ. Like, he don't give a fuck what people think. Like, you know what I'm saying? He's just like this. He was just freaking talking to us. Like, I'm just like, okay, somewhat, you know, interested, but like just relaxed and somewhat, I don't want to say bored, but just in this phase. But like, he's done everything that he set out to do, and I think he's just maybe just trying to have fun with the game. A guy like Benavides, Kamaru, he's too fucking dangerous, man.
Yeah, that's what I've been kind of, I've been in a sense trying to tell you, is boxing is just set up in a way to where it's a very difficult process. And I remember Dana saying this a long time ago, and there might have been, you know, some animosity back and forth going on at the time where Dana said it, where he said boxing is a very, very, it's a tough business to be in. And I understand that. Like Canelo just mentioned, if you have the WBA that already has a contract with this guy, that after this guy wins his next fight, that he's going to be the next mandatory challenge the champion who has the belt, who is also the champion at the WBO, who's also the WBC champion, and the WBC has the same contracts with different people, and then the WBO has the same contracts with different people, you can't fight everybody at one time. So at this point, when you become big enough to where you become a superstar like these guys, they get in a position to where they can kind of pick and choose. And that's what we see here. And now with a guy like Canelo, who has done it all, he's done everything there is to do and doesn't seem like he's hurting for cash. Why? What's the point of fighting a guy, especially when you feel like these guys are in the wrong weight classes anyways? What's the point of fighting these guys?
I think that's one thing that I'm gonna have to disagree. You know, if you have the ability of going up, like how David did, and he won an interim bout, dude. I mean, it's not like he fought a fucking slouch, dude. Like, he literally went up and dominated a guy at 175 pounds. Same thing with Terrence Trenford. Terrence had a closer fight, but he went out there and I watched the rounds. I'm the type of guy that I like to watch fights, and I'll literally have my notepad and I'll be like, all right, that round was for Crawford. You know, the other one's for the Russian. Like, Crawford was clearly up by at least four rounds, but I also understand what he's saying. Does he have the juice? Does he have the juice to really, if he can bully somebody at maybe at 154, like, then we could talk about it. But if he's talking about Terrence Crawford to go back down to 147 pounds, that 54 is not his weight class.
My question for you is, can you blame him for this, what he said? Benavidez was disposing of everybody rather quickly. And then you've got, at 147, Terrence Crawford just went out there and was going out there and disposed, getting rid of guys. Now they bump up Terrence Crawford to 54, and it's a decision. Now, Benavidez bumps up to 75, and the fight looked a lot more competitive. But Canelo is essentially saying that there's weight classes for a reason. Fighting the right weight classes, and you will get the competition.
Yeah, and then if you think about it too, Kush, is what he said. He says, I'm only going to go up to 175 pounds just one time, because he knows the difference from 68 to 75. I mean, from 68 to 75, that's 7 pounds. And 7 pounds, I get it. You know, we've wrestled. We know the cream of the crop in competition. You're going to be an Olympic champion at a lower weight. But as soon as you go up another 10 pounds, it's like, hey, man, you may not even place at the damn tournament. I mean, because it's that competitive. The weight classes, like you said, it's there for a reason. And I think even he's putting a cap on himself. Even he's putting a cap on himself of maybe conquering another weight class. It's almost like he wants to go up 275 pounds to avenge the loss that he had with B-Ball. You know, doing this interview with him and just hearing him speak, he's just like, he has a family. He's a four weight division champ. Like, he's become undisputed in two different weight classes. I personally don't think that we're going to see him fight against Benavidez or a guy like Terrence Crawford. I think he's over that. I think he's more in the sense where, you know, he always says he loves boxing. I think he just wants to enjoy himself and really just pick his fights, dude. And can we blame him? I mean, me as a fan, I mean, I probably won't purchase those pay-per-views, quite honestly, because I want to see him against the high level competition. But then again, it's, I'm the outside guy, just wants to watch the best competition. We can only relate, and we can only put ourselves in his shoes, and he wants to continue to keep making it rain. I mean, the dude's probably worth maybe $300 million, something like that.
Oh, I think it's definitely north of that for sure. I mean, he got over $300 million for PBC, I believe, or CBS.
Yeah, but I'm talking about from getting taxed, bro. Like, all that shit, like, I'm talking about, like, literally having hard money in your bank account. It's different, Kush.
Hey, Mexico, my brother, relax. I see kind of the spirit and where he's at, and I have to just admire that, because for a guy like him who has done what he's done in the sport to still have the desire to where he's still kind of having fun. I felt that he would probably be in a position to say, well, I don't ever need to hurt for money. I'm okay. I don't need to fight ever again. I've done everything I needed to do. But he's still like, okay, I'm going to make this guy pay. I'm still going to go out there and punish this guy. And he loves to train. He still loves to compete. And right after the interview, he dipped off. He had to go train again. And so to see that passion, that level of passion still with a guy who started boxing at the age of 13 and has accomplished everything that he's accomplished, I mean, it's something to behold. It's something that I actually admire in a guy like himself.
Second greatest Mexican boxer of all time, right after Julio Cesar Chavez, because of what Chavez was able to do and his consecutive wins and the weight classes and who he's beaten. The fact that, you know, he's done a lot, dude. I think he did a lot for the sport. And I disagree
with you. I don't say second. I say first. And I put Oscar De La Hoya as second, and I put Chavez as third. I love all three, but I think Canelo is one, Oscar is two, Chavez is three.
If you want to go that Mexico road, Oscar has to be one. Sixth division world champ, dude. Olympic gold medalist. You can't be biased like that.
No. It's not about popularity. It's not about numbers. Oscar De La Hoya was by far more popular than Canelo Alvarez. Yes. It's not about popularity. It's about the fight in them, the way that they fight, the fighting IQ, the way that they, the style. And pound for pound, if we had to go pound for pound, I put Canelo as one, I put Oscar at two, and I put Chavez at three. And I would tell, if you really want me to break it down for you and let you know why, I can let you know that right now.
Chavez
was a body puncher. Yes or no? And then when he actually fought someone that could control distance like Oscar De La Hoya, we saw what happened. Now Canelo is the hybrid of that. Canelo could box you on the inside. Canelo could walk you down. Canelo could hit you from the outside. Listen, and his defense, come on. We can't be biased here. Let's be honest. Canelo is one, Oscar is two, Chavez is three.
Well, we could agree to disagree, dude. It's all good. But either way, dude, I think that, and if you watch the press conference against Edgar Berlanga, dude, like Edgar Berlanga was telling him in Spanish that I'm going to push your shit in. So, you know, it's like the shit talking in Spanish is pretty fucking dirty. And when somebody tells you that, in other words, he's saying, I'm going to make you my bitch. And I was hoping that Canelo would bring that up. But anyway, that's just my two cents, man.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. But I think Canelo's just in a place where he's seen it all, he's heard it all, and he's done it all to where he understands that this is part of it. Anything you say can and will be used against you inside that octagon. And Canelo's still in that spirit. He's like, give him a reason. Give me a reason. Oh, I'm going to hurt you. I'm going to make you suffer for 7 rounds, and then I'm going to stop you in the 8. I'm going to hurt you. So it is what it is. But on the flip side, for Berlanga, hey, if you believe that, like I will say, impossible is nothing. If you truly believe you can make it happen, September 14th, T-Mobile Arena, I want you to make me a believer. I want you to let me know that you're really going to, how'd you say it, Henry? What did he say he was going to do?
Push your shit in. Go ahead. You can say it, Kush.
Yeah. I don't speak like that, you know. I don't talk like that, sir. So, but fantastic interview. I mean, Canelo is a competitor, he's a class act, but at the same time, he's a family man. And, you know, September 14th, you may not purchase the pay-per-view, but I definitely will keep one eye on the pay-per-view, on their pay-per-view, and one eye on UFC Noche for sure, because I got two good eyes. So one eye is on Noche, and one eye.
One eye looking at you, one eye looking for you.
Yes, yes. Ever... So I got you. Yeah, Henry, so we buried the hatchet, man. And it was a fantastic interview. Canelo Alvarez going to be fighting September 14th live for the T-Mobile Arena against Edgar Berlanga, Mexico versus Puerto Rico. Henry, as always, I am the Nigerian Nightmare, Kamaru Usman.
Henry Cejudo, a.k.a. Triple C.
We are out.